ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 Chapter 4, texts 30 through 40. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. I read the translations of verses 30 to 39. This is verse 40, which is written on the board. In the month of Kartik, after observing that vow for 1 year, after observing a fast for 3 nights, and after bathing in the Yamuna, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in Madhuban. Following the regulative principles of Mahabhishek, Maharaj Ambarish performed the bathing ceremony for the deity of Lord Krishna with all paraphernalia, and then he dressed the deity with fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant flower garlands, and other paraphernalia for worship of the Lord. With attention and devotion, he worshipped Krishna and all the greatly fortunate brahmanas who were free from material desires. Thereafter, Maharaj Ambarish satisfied all the guests who arrived at his house, especially the brahmanas. He gave in charity 60 crores of cows, whose horns were covered with gold plate and whose hooves were covered with silver plate. All the cows were well decorated with garments and had full milk bags. They were mild-natured, young and beautiful, and were accompanied by their calves. After giving these cows, the king first sumptuously fed all the brahmanas, and when they were fully satisfied, he was about to observe the end of Ekadashi with their permission by breaking the fast. Exactly at that time, however, Durvasa Muni, the great and powerful mystic, appeared on the scene as an uninvited guest. After standing up to receive Durvasa Muni, King Ambarish offered him a seat and paraphernalia of worship. Then sitting at his feet, the king requested the great sage to eat. Durvasa Muni gladly accepted the request of Maharaj Ambarish, but to perform the regulative ritualistic ceremonies, he went to the river Jamuna. There he dipped into the water of the auspicious Yamuna and meditated upon the impersonal Brahman. In the meantime, only a Mahurta of the Dwadashi day was left on which to break the fast. Consequently, it was imperative that the fast be broken immediately. In this dangerous situation, the king consulted learned brahmanas. Then, the verse we're going to read today. The king said, this is the translation of verses 39 and 40. The king said, to transgress the laws of respectful behavior toward the brahmanas is certainly a great offense. On the other hand, if one does not observe the breaking of the fast within the time of Dwadashi, there is a flaw in one's observance of the vow. Therefore, O Brahmanas, if you think that it will be auspicious and not irreligious, I shall break the fast by drinking water. In this way, after consulting with the Brahmanas, the king reached this decision, for according to Brahminical opinion, drinking water may be accepted as eating and also as not eating. Purport. When Maharaj Ambarish, in his dilemma, consulted the Brahmanas about whether he should break the fast or wait for Durvasa Muni, apparently they could not give a definite answer about what to do. A Vaishnava, however, is the most intelligent personality. Therefore, Maharaj Ambarish himself decided in the presence of the Brahmanas that he would drink a little water, for this would confirm that the fast was broken, but would not transgress the laws for receiving a Brahmana. In the Vedas, it is said, Aposhnati tan naivasitam naivanashitam. This Vedic injunction declares that the drinking of water may be accepted as eating or not eating. Sometimes in our practical experience, we see that some political leader adhering to satyagraha will not eat, some political leader, but will drink water. Considering that drinking water would not be eating, Maharaj Ambarish decided to act in this way. The character of Ambarish Maharaj has been described previous to this. What a great devotee he was, always engaged in the service of Krishna. All his activities, his thoughts, his words, his legs moving to the temple, his hands cleaning the temple, his body embracing the body of devotees. He's a great devotee. Now he's in a dilemma. This is introducing the story of how Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj and what happened after that. So it's a dilemma. Maharaj Ambarish, as a typical pious king and moreover a great Vaishnav, was a follower of the Vedic injunctions. He wasn't like modern rulers who simply dream up some mode of action as they go along, but he was always guided by the Brahmanas and by the Vedic injunctions, which the Vedic injunctions, they regulate every aspect of life, what should be done at every time of the day, and how residence should be built, and how one should behave with others, and how one should perform different sacrifices and austerities, and here the vrata, dvadashi vrata, how it should be performed. All the details are given, and there are also brahmanas who are expert, they've studied this knowledge, heard it from their gurus, who are expert in giving practical directions how to do all these things. Nevertheless, all the interesting stories in Shastra mostly come about when there is some transgression of dharma, or when someone doesn't know exactly what to do, because the material world is so complex that even if one is assiduously trying to follow dharma, he may find himself in a position where he's not sure what to do, because on one hand, in a certain situation, you may want to follow one regulation, but by following that, you'll be breaking another one, which is what's happening here with Ambarish Maharaj. He wants to break his fast. The Ekadashi fast is not completed unless one breaks fast. You have to eat on time. So he has to do that. On the other hand, there's another Vedic injunction that if an uninvited, especially an uninvited guest, Atithi, comes and you have to offer him some food and you have to feed him first. You can't eat ahead of him. It's not like in modern life where someone comes to your home and says, well, you know, just look in the fridge anytime you like. Take whatever you like. No, you have to prepare something very nicely, offer it to Krishna, offer it to him, and then when he's taken, then you can take. So especially when a very great personality like Durvasa Muni comes, he doesn't come every day. So it wouldn't be very nice if Durvasa Muni came back from taking bath and he sees Ambarish Maharaj sitting and saying, hey, come and join me. That would be a very great offense. It's against the rules of Atithi Seva. The Atithi is considered, unexpected guest is considered as just like Narayana. So just like you don't cook and then you eat and then you say, well, here you are, Narayana. It's very nice. I know. I already tasted it. You can take it also. You have to offer it to him first, then you can take his prasadam. So he is in a dilemma. What to do? Should I eat? And therefore I'll complete my vow, which is meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Or should I wait? Because how can you satisfy Vishnu if you dissatisfy the brahmanas? So he's in a dilemma. Just like that, you see, Arjuna was also in a dilemma. What to do? Should we fight or not fight? So many interesting situations come about. And the Shastras, they record these stories to give us some indication of how we can act. Because we'll also, if we're trying to follow the rules and regulations of Shastra, we'll also find ourselves many times in a difficult situation, exactly how to act. Then we have to consider how have the great acharyas in the past, now the great devotees, what have they done? And you'll find in traditional Indian culture, which is almost completely dead now, still something going on, you'll find that traditionally that people would be very much versed in all these, especially Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Ramayana, and any situation, maybe a father has to instruct a child, well, you shouldn't do like this because you see, in this situation, Arjuna did like this, and they'd be well versed, and if there's some controversy, what to do, then they'd discuss, well, in this Shastra we have this, and in that Shastra we have that, and they'd try to understand, according to Shastra, understanding that Shastra is the direction for human society. But then again, there may be different opinions. Therefore, there are Brahmanas. But here we see that Ambarish Maharaj asked the Brahmanas, well, what should I do? And they said, well, actually, we don't know. So then Ambarish Maharaj said, okay, I know. What I'll do, I'll drink some water. Because according to Shastra, that is breaking the fast. Actually, if you have to break fast, you have to eat some grains, but then you may take some water. It may also be considered, because it's also not. So you're doing and you're not doing, both ways. So if anyone says, well, you didn't break your fast, you say, I did, I drank some water. If anyone says that, well, you ate before your guest came, well, I only drank water, I didn't actually eat. So either way, you're covered. So Ambarish Maharaj, very intelligent, more intelligent than the Brahmins, it seems, because they weren't sure what to do. They thought, well, if we don't want to make an offense this way, and we don't want to make offense that way. So they said, well, you decide. That's Ambarish Maharaj is a king, decision maker, someone who has to make decisions. So you never know what's going to happen. When you make a decision, you never know actually what the result is. You can calculate and say, well, it might be like this, it might be like that, this might happen, that might happen. But you can never tell, and often things don't work out as expected, and then we get blamed for it. So the Brahmanas, they didn't want to take the blame, so they let Ambarish Maharaj decide. And Ambarish Maharaj, he probably couldn't have predicted that Durvasa Muni would get so angry, because he's supposed to be in control of his senses. He's a great yogi. How did he become so powerful that he could, many different things he could do, such as pulling out a demon out of his hair and sending him to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Not everyone can do that. You have to have a lot of yoga shakti to be able to do that. So he must have, by his austerities, which means austerities means you have to control the senses, he became extremely powerful. So Ambarish Maharaj probably couldn't have imagined that he would respond in such a way. I mean, you could say it's not very reasonable to act in such a way that if someone, he drank a little water, so I mean, he might have got angry, but actually to call a demon to kill him, it's a rather extreme reaction. It seems he was very intolerant and maybe even somewhat envious of Ambarish Maharaj. Undoubtedly Ambarish Maharaj was praised by the people as being a very great devotee, was very dear to his citizens because he was worshipping the Lord. And Durvasa Muni was also famous, but how he became famous by being a great yogi and performing so many austerities, it's apparently more difficult than worshipping the Lord. The yogi has to perform very severe austerities for many years, and whereas Ambarish Maharaj, he's doing actually very easy things. He's praised in the Srimad Bhagavatam for what? For cleaning the floor. For walking to the temple. For embracing the bodies of devotees. For speaking about Krishna. So you may think, well, why is so many verses praising Ambarish Maharaj? Anyone can do that. But actually not everyone can do it. It's superficially easy. Anyone can clean the floor. Anyone can walk to the temple. It seems very easy. But it's actually, it was more difficult for a great yogi like Durvasa Muni to do such things than to perform many, many years of austerity. He could do that. But he wasn't inclined, as Ambarish Maharaj was, to clean the temple of the Lord, walk to the temple, smell the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of the Lord. He didn't have such an inclination. He found it easier to perform severe austerities. But what was very difficult for him, he didn't want to do, he didn't do, was to do what Ambarish Maharaj, which was to surrender to Krishna and to accept Krishna's supremacy and serve Krishna in all various different ways. So Durvasa Muni was an accomplished yogi, but he didn't have the accomplishment of Ambarish Maharaj, who was not interested in performing different austerities for gaining power, but he was simply interested in serving Krishna. And he was very happy doing that, and his citizens were also very happy with him, but Durvasa Muni wasn't very happy with him. As we see, he unnecessarily cursed him very severely, and that he would die, and he Naturally, Devasamuni, he also took a decision that now I'm going to have this Ambarish Maharaj, I'm going to show what is my position and what is his position. He has insulted me. Now I have to uphold the position of the Brahmana. This Kshatriya is insulting me. He should be taught a good lesson. Let him die for this. So he made a decision. He also couldn't predict what would be the outcome of his decision. He thought, well, Ambarish Maharaj will die and I'll go off and that will be that. But something else happened. As you probably all know the story, that Ambarish Maharaj was protected by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. He was very busy worshipping the Lord. So, Kshatriya, actually, he should be very busy in controlling the kingdom. If he's not careful, at any time, some neighboring kings may attack him, or some, of course he's the emperor, some subordinate kings may attack, or there may be some politics within the court, so he has to have his spies everywhere, even in the time of Lord Ramchandra. This was going on. So, a king should be very vigilant. What is going on in my kingdom? But Ambarish Maharaj was very vigilant. What is going on in my temple? How is the Lord being worshipped? Now we have, how shall we celebrate this festival? Now we have to plant more flowers to offer to the Lord. Now we have to distribute so many. He was just thinking how to serve Krishna very, very nicely. So it might appear that his kingdom was unprotected, but the Lord himself took charge. Said, oh, you're looking after me? Alright, I'll look after you. If anyone disturbs you, my associate here, Sudarshan, he's very nice to see, Sudarshan. But for those who don't like to see you, Ambarish Maharaj, he will come in a different feature which is not very nice. So, Durvasa Muni found that out. That, far from Ambarish Maharaj being killed, rather, there was the chakra of the Lord coming to kill him. He didn't expect. He thought, there's no one who can, no one can stand against my power. Who is it? I'm cursing and who can do anything to me? This is the typical misconception of the non-devotees. Even though Durvasa Muni was a great personality, Prabhupada called one of his disciples, Durvasa Muni Das. Prabhupada explained as he was giving his shishya. Durvasa Muni is also a great personality. So we can also take blessings from him. He's a great personality. But he wasn't very much cognizant of his position. What is his greatness? That real greatness means to recognize the greatness of Krishna, who is actually supremely great. And anyone only becomes great, whether in human society or dog society, there's also one dog is greater than another. Or in the bee society, there's the queen bee. So to be in the body of a bee is not very good karma, but it's better karma to be a queen bee than a worker bee. So everyone gets their position by the grace of the Lord. And in bee society, they know nothing more than that. That she is the queen. God save our queen. They worship the queen. And as far as she's concerned, she's the center of the universe, which extends as far as the bees fly to collect nectar for honey. So greatness means to understand Krishna, but Durvasa Muni had become great by meditating on the impersonal Brahman, all expansive. Brahmasmi aham, aham brahmasmi. Brahman, that is which is great, and I am that. So he was a great personality, a very accomplished yogi, no doubt, but he was in Maya. He didn't understand the greatness of Krishna. So Krishna is very kind. He also wanted to give some mercy to Durvasa Muni. So Sudarshan Chakra came, and Durvasa Muni, he didn't know what to do. He didn't expect this. He didn't have any yogic power to counteract the Sudarshan Chakra. He didn't know any, what's the mantra for this one? What should I do? He was up against a power that was far greater than his tiny power. He was up against the energy of the supreme yogi, Yogeshwara, the supreme personality of Godhead. So, what did he do? He ran away. It's embarrassing. It must be embarrassing. You don't usually see yogis running away in fear. They should be fearless. Yogi should be just, whatever happens, he just accepts. He's practiced for that. He'll sit down and meditate, and even the ants may come and build their nest over him. Just like Valmiki or Hiranyakashipu, he's also a great yogi. And he simply tolerates whatever happens. Simply tolerates. But in this instance, Durvasa Muni, we see, became very afraid. And he started to run away, looking for shelter. It's very embarrassing for him. He was just to show, he was going to show that, now I'm going to show how great I am. But instead, he's running away. And Sudarshan Chakra is chasing him. Of course, Sudarshan Chakra is much more powerful than Durvasa Muni. So, Sudarshan Chakra could have killed him just like that. He didn't have to, it wasn't that Sudarshan Chakra was also trying to catch up with him, and Durvasa Muni is a good runner or something like that. So, we can understand the Lord must have had some purpose. That Sudarshan Chakra is chasing him, but he didn't. He always remained a little bit behind him as he ran all over the universe. And first of all, he found out where are the different caves and where are the different holes I can hide away in. But wherever he went, Sudarshan Chakra found him. So he jumped out of the hole and ran off to some other planet and see if there's any good holes to hide here. And when he found out all the different caves in the universe that he could find, and none of them were sufficient to protect him from Sudarshan Chakra, then he thought, well, maybe I should go to the different demigods. They can give me protection. Lord Shiva, he's very powerful. Lord Brahma, he's very powerful. They should be able to protect me. But no. At least he's understanding, beginning to understand the point that I have to take shelter. Before I was thinking, I'm independent, I can just do whatever I like, I can curse anyone here, there. I'm non-different from the impersonal Brahman, I'm so powerful. Now he came to the situation that actually I had to find someone who can protect me. So he went to Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, which actually, it wasn't such a good idea, because just like, for instance, if you're harassed by someone's dog is barking at you, then you should go to that person and say, could you just keep your dog under control? I mean, you could go to the different, you could go to the local police or something like that. But the best thing is just to go, you ask the person, look, your dog, whenever I come past, he just barks at me and threatens me. Can you just tell him to behave himself? So Sudarshan Chakra is coming from Lord Vishnu. But first he went to Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and the great demigods. Could you do something about this? He said, well, actually, Durvasa Muni, you should have studied the Srimad Bhagavatam and found out that we don't have any jurisdiction over Lord Vishnu. He's supreme. So it's his chakra also, so you should go and see him. So eventually Durvasa Muni had to come to the embarrassing situation of falling down. For him, embarrassing. A devotee is very happy to do. But for him, pleading and begging, could you please do something? I don't want to die. I'm afraid. He had to be afraid like that. So he entered Vaikuntha, the planet of Lord Vishnu, which is free from any anxiety. How could he enter? He's full of anxiety. And fell before Lord Vishnu, who is free from all anxiety, and very politely welcomed him. Welcome. Full of anxiety. So, dear yogi, brahmana, guru of 60,000 disciples, what can we do for you? Very politely welcomed him. So Durvasa Muni expressed that, well, I have a problem. Yes, most people who pray to me, they have a problem. What's your problem? Well, my problem is, you see this Sudarshan Chakra behind me. I'm just waiting. Could have killed him. Just waiting behind me. Could you just tell him to leave me alone? He thought, well, eventually I had to come to this point. Now I've come to the point of Vishnu. It's his chakra. He sent it. So this is it. All right, I did what I had to do. I surrendered to Lord Vishnu. I bowed down before him. And now, it's embarrassing, but what are my disciples going to think? But anyway, now I did it. So, all right, now my problem's finished. But Lord Vishnu said, no, I can't help you. I went to Lord Shiva, he said to go to you. I went to Lord Brahma, he said to go to you. And they all said, you're the supreme. And it's your chakra, and if you can't help me, who's going to help me? Who's superior to you then? You mean someone's telling you what to do? And then Lord Vishnu told him the secret. How to begin his spiritual life. He's a great yogi, very accomplished in austerities and mystic power. But his real spiritual life didn't begin. One has to go to a devotee. Even if you go all through the universe and go up to Lord Vishnu will say, go back. You have to go to my devotee. You have to ask him. So then Durvasa Muni went back and he began his spiritual life by bowing down at the lotus feet of a devotee. He's very humble. He's not at all upset. He also had to wait another year. Stand waiting there fasting because he thought, I have to feed him. Why doesn't he come back? Then I can feed him, then I can break my fast also. We're over time. Sorry. Okay. So he began his spiritual life by bowing down at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj, who very mercifully accepted him. And I'd like to say more, but there's no time. Hare Krishna. Should I take a question or not? All right, question.
I was thinking about breaking the fast. You mentioned that you're really proud of your praise in order to break the fast. What about in the
Amrish Mahadev's case? Bhakti Bhai Maharaj's question is that we're taught that we have to take grains to break a kadashi. So how is it in this case that it was broken by only drinking water? Well, the crux of the story, you have to take grains to break that fast. But he wasn't able to, so he made a compromise. In that situation, it's a compromise. That's all. Sometimes, just like we compromise, we're supposed to fast, but some of us eat non-grains on Ekadashi. So it's also following. It's not following in the full way or the best way, but it's also following. So it's an acceptable compromise. It's not the best, but what to do under the circumstances.